We're so grateful for so many blessings. And above all, we're grateful for Jesus Christ. We're grateful for one who longs for us to come into his presence to encourage and strengthen us. And we thank you for him. And we thank you for each other, that when we laugh, we can share the laughter. And when we cry, we can be supported and upheld. So we're grateful for a family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we care for one another. And we know that you care for all of us. So we bring these concerns to you. We pray that you'll continue to strengthen Bob. Just bless him. Help him to enjoy this day. And give safety as they travel to visit. And just continue to hold him. We pray that you be with Robert as he has his pacemaker installed. May it help regulate his rhythm and give him back some energy. We pray that you be with the rain. May rain come quickly to assist all the responders that are working so diligently. Give them safety. Give them encouragement. Thank you for so many men and women that are blessings to us, and may you just continue to protect them. And we thank you that we can enter into your house in the freedom afforded by so many who have served and defended and protected this country. And we pray that you'll continue to be with those that lead and serve us. And be with our service today. May it be a blessing to each of us. And above all things, may it glorify your holy name. And we pray in that name. Amen. You'll look with me to the front of the bulletin. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me, we'll use the first 12 verses of Psalm 90, then we'll stand and sing our opening hymn 534. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another.
The Lord of mountains and the rock of earth, from land and from age to age, you are our God.
You turn us back to the dust and say, go back, O child of earth.
For 1,000 years in your sight, from what I say today and what is past, and I will watch and repent.
You sweep us away like a dream. We fade away suddenly like the grass.
In the morning it is green and flourishes, and in the evening it is dried up and withered.
For we consume away in your displeasure. We are afraid because of your wrathful indignation.
And how many of these who have sat before you, and mercy of your sins and the light of your countenance.
When you are angry, all our days are gone. We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
The span of our lives is 7 years, and our actions and strength even 80. Yet some of them is but a labor of sorrow, for they pass away quickly.
Who regards the power of your wrath? Who rightly fears your indignation?
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I'll punish the men who are complacent. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they build plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening, fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. Here ends the first lesson
today. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
come to be with you forever in that life to come. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who, as your children, have told us to pray together boldly. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second lesson comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Here ends the second lesson for the day.
Thank you. And we follow as you lead. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, including me, preachers can say some really stupid things, can't we? And if you would Google this text, or sermons about this text, or if you would read a lot of the modern commentaries and books, or if you've heard sermons, you've probably heard, and you can find many sermons, where it says that this parable is all about the talents that God has given you and how you need to use your talents and abilities to the glory of God. And that's not what this is about at all. It's reading back. The word talent did eventually come to be those capabilities that we have, those talents we have for earning our livelihood, but it wasn't used that way in this context. Also, we look to the scripture not for an investment guide, not for a self-help book, but class, I ask you, all of scripture is about whom? Jesus Christ. And this parable is no different. So let's look at this parable. I think this is one of the most important parables, and we find in this parable we have the strongest words that Jesus ever utters against someone for being a sinner. You'll find no more harsh words ever spoken by Christ than the words that he spoke to this third man. And I can't imagine He spoke it that way just because the man was conservative in his investment policies. It's not about that. Let's look at the story again. There's a man that's going on a journey, and he called his servants and entrusted them his property. Now just think of that sentence. A master is going, and he gives his property to his servants. We see right away from this parable is all about grace. This parable is all about the graciousness of the master. He didn't have to give anything to his servants. They owed him their life. He didn't owe them anything. But he gave them all, and as we heard read, he gave the first one 5 talents, he gave the second one 2 talents, and he gave the third one 1 talent. And a talent, depending on what source you're looking at, somewhere between 15 to 20 years of your salary. So let's take 20 years. He gave the first man 100 years of a salary. It's a gracious gift. But the other thing showing his grace is he not only gives them this amount of money, this measure of 20 years of wages by 5 would be 100 years of wages. He also gave them before his journey. He gave it at the beginning. He also didn't give any instruction. He didn't tell them to go and invest it. He didn't tell them anything. The first one took and he invested it. I guess he would be, you know, like the Warren Buffett type. He did a great job. He invested it. The next one didn't at all. He doubled his money as well. But the third one took this and folded it in half, put it in his pocket. He buried it just to protect it. Now, let me ask, just your Christian people of long tenure, is this parable really telling us that it's sinful to be conservative financially? Is this about not investing your money? Of course not. What it's about, and the reason why Jesus Christ uses such harsh words, it's about the most important thing that we can ever do. And that is, how do you think about God? How do you think about God? When you picture God, when you say the word G-O-D, what do you think God is? And if you look at this third man, his problem wasn't that he was conservative in investment. His problem was he was quite insulting of the God of the universe in his thinking. Look at what he says in the passage. It says in verse 24, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. The word there for hard is harsh or stern. I knew you were a demanding person, reaping where you did not sow. He's accusing the master of being a thief. You not only are hard and demanding, but you're taking from me what's not yours and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. Afraid of whom? The master. So I want to ask us, what is your picture of God? What is your picture of God? When you think of God, do you think of one who's always gracious, always compassionate, always faithful? Or do you think really that God has stolen from you, taken the joy from you, somehow given more to others? This is where that old saying, rich get richer and poor get poor, and we don't think it's fair. And the reason why we come to this is we need to understand that the gift, the real talent, the real treasure that God has given us, He's given to all of us, and it's Jesus Christ. That's our talent. We used to ask growing up, and I guess it doesn't apply anymore because you don't have them any longer, but that old proverbial question, if your house was on fire and you had to run out, What would be the first thing you would take? Well, it used to be in my family, or growing up, the first thing that my mother said she would take was the photo albums. The photo albums. So I ask you, as you begin this Thanksgiving week, what is the greatest thing that you have? What do you value more than anything? And I think that what we'll see is that the true talent, the true livelihood, the true gift that God has given us is Jesus Christ. It's an interesting word that's used three times in this parable. And if we're not careful, we'll miss it. Look in verse 14. For it was like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. The word is probably should be delivered. He delivered his property. Look in verse 20. And he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. And then we'll see it again in verse 22, that you delivered to me these talents. The same word that's used here for delivered is used in Matthew's gospel when Jesus was delivered to Pilate. And Paul says in Romans 4, verse 25, beginning in verse 23, but the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The bottom line is the gift that's given to us, the most important, the most valuable thing you have, is Jesus Christ's love for you, his forgiveness. And in the midst of all the shame and guilt and fear and regret, he's given us Jesus Christ. I've said this to you before, and I won't say it again. I think sometimes the greatest gift I get to do is not only preach the Word of God, but in a few minutes, you're going to have handed to you the body and blood of our precious Savior. It's healing. You are receiving Christ because he was delivered over for our sins. I'm going to deliver the post. Jim's going to deliver the wine. It's given to you. It's more important than if I gave you a cure to cancer or absolute financial freedom, or complete harmony in your family, or reconciliation between all the torn elements of society. There is nothing more important than this precious gift of Jesus Christ. And what made the master so angry is this third man didn't recognize the value. And Jesus had already said this in Matthew 7. Don't throw your pearls before swine. For they not only won't recognize the value, they'll crush it underfoot and turn and devour you. Let us make sure that we live our life ever thanking our precious Master for the gracious gift of Jesus Christ. It's truly about Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise and thank you, abounding God, because you demand so much from us, and at the same time give us everything you expect of us. In the glory of creation, in the grace of liberation, you set the contours of our journey with you by crafting the covenant and by renewing your people in exile. You showed us the manner and purpose of your ever-flowing love. In Jesus, you gave us your most precious talent. Though we buried him through our ignorance and sin, you raised him to multiply your church and spread abroad your kingdom. And so we give you thanks with saints and angels and the company of heaven, joining their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Encouraging God, your Son Jesus died for us, so that we might live together with you. He went through the deep night of betrayal, anguish in Gethsemane, trial by his own people, and scourging by his oppressors, that we might live an endless day. Send your Holy Spirit that your people may be turned from the fear of your wrath to the anticipation of your glory. By that same spirit of salvation and hope, sanctify these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And again he gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Generous God, when your church is entrusted with a little, make it faithful. And when your people are sent forth to take care of much, make them wise and true and kind. As you invested your whole heart in the uncertain market of our love, show your children where to take risks, when to enter the unknown, and how to trade with your bounty. Prepare the hearts of the flourishing and the fragile for the day of your revelation, that when all secrets are made known and all desires laid bare, your understanding and forgiving grace may see the virtue behind our clumsiness and the goodness amid our folly. Fill every heart with the sure and certain hope that we shall enter into the fullness of your joy when your whole creation is justified by faith and sanctified by love. And you are all in all, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love quotes. I love slogans. I love sayings. We need to be reminded often of what we know is true. One of my favorite, and I said it often this past weekend, and I was a little more quiet than normal because I was thinking, when you come to the place where Jesus is all you have, you'll find out Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. And he has promised never to leave nor forsake us, and to be present in his word, and to be present at this table. So I invite all those to his table, those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come and to receive this precious gift,
the most valuable thing that we can receive is the absolute presence. It's here for us. He is our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
In Christ you have given us all things. As the fullness of the Godhead bodily was made manifest in Him we find our joy and our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. May we, this week and all days, focus upon you. Contemplate constantly the gracious gift that was given, not by a harsh and demanding and unfair God, but a God that loves us more than life, who laid down his life, that through him we would live, and that more abundantly. We thank you for Christ, and we pray in his holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing our final hymn. Love and to serve our Lord. Amen.